You see there in verse, it's not listed on the page here, in verse 17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness near the bottom of our reading. In that he did good, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our heart with food and gladness. Tonight we are here particularly to remember God's abundant provision to us over the last year. And what we read in this passage is that God did good. God did good. Can we not say that? That God did good. If we look back over this year and the years past, and no doubt the time to come if God wills, we will always be able to say that God did good. Paul first said this to the people then in Lystra, in modern day Turkey. But we can say it here in the 21st century, in this tiny portion of the world here in Cardiff, that God has done good. He has given us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, and he has filled our hearts with food and gladness. And I want to consider those three things briefly. First of all, that God did good. Secondly, that he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. And thirdly, that he has filled our hearts with food and gladness. First of all, God did good. God did good. How true that is. Can we not easily say with Paul that as we reflect on this year and throughout our lives as Christians, that God has done good? In Acts 14, he's speaking to complete pagans. We can tell that from what they do when this man is healed. They bring all the Greek paraphernalia, and they're about to make a sacrifice to the Greek god. That is how steeped they are in paganism. And Paul says to them, God did good to you, a pagan. How much more has he done good to his own people? Has God not done good? Can we not say with the psalmist in Psalm 119, God is good, and he does good. And here in this passage, we are given a number of reasons why we can say that God has done good. Because second, we are taught that he has given us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. God has given us rain from heaven and has given us fruitful seasons. Now, I am sure there's been at least one time in your life when you have complained about the rain. I know it doesn't rain very much in Wales in comparison to Ireland. But we should be wary about complaining about that. We've all done it. We should be wary about it because it is God that sends the rain. We should be thinking, okay, this is very inconvenient when we're out for a walk and suddenly the rain breaks on. But some farmer somewhere is praising the fact that rain has come to water the seeds that have been planted many months previous that will come to fruition because of that rain. We must recognize that it is God that sends the rain. Rain is never random. It always has a purpose. Psalm 147 teaches us that it is God who covers the heavens with clouds, that he prepares the rain from earth, for earth, that he may make grass to grow on the mountains. We are taught in Psalm 65, which we've sung, that God visits the earth and he waters it. He greatly enriches it, and that God waters its ridges abundantly. He settles its furrows. He makes it soft with showers, and he blesses its growth. We must not think, as the media loves to tell us, that rain is a result of global warming. Every time it rains, God is behind it. It is not random. It is not fortunate that God that the rain has come. No, it is God sending the rain. It is God directing the rain to water the earth in order that he may sustain the creation that he has made. You couldn't help but notice that in verse 15, that he is revealed by Paul as the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. But God just doesn't create it and leave these things to themselves. No, daily he is ordering all the weather and everything that is needed to sustain his creation. It is God who sustains his creation by providing all that it needs and more. God gives us fruitful seasons. We have just had a feast tonight. I think if we look back at our dinner tables over the last few weeks and months, it's not far from having a feast. That's not because Sarah's a great cook. But we have not lacked, have we? We have had abundant things at our dinner tables. God has given us fruitful seasons. All those needs have been met. Man plants the seed, which God provides. He puts it in the ground, which God provides. God waters that seed. God gives the sunshine and the rain to make it happen. That process, those of you who are gardeners, I believe, is starting now. You have planted the seed. And at some point next year, it's going to come into abundance. But it is God who is making it happen. And I want to say that it's for all of mankind. That is the remarkable thing. God is particularly concerned about his people, but Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount that he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so they are without excuse. You see, there's a witness that they were told about here. God has not left himself without a witness. Every single person in this world, no matter what they say, if they say God has never given me anything in my life, that is blasphemous to say that. Every single thing that they've had has been given to them by God. And this is because God is keeping that covenant that he made to Noah, that Phil read in Genesis chapter 8, that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God has been faithful to that covenant that was made to Noah and to the rest of mankind. And God, time and time again, is bringing forth fruitful seasons, even though we are, as a nation and as a world, incredibly sinful. I was trying to find a statistic, and perhaps the young people could do this. The last time that this country had a famine, it is at least the 17th century. Think about how sinful this nation has been. And God has nevertheless continued to pour out blessing to us as a nation. Our hearts have been filled with fruit and gladness, food and gladness. God has abundantly provided our daily bread, has he not? Some of you might say, well, that is because we live in the West, which is not like communism and another form of, or other forms of the world where it's not as prosperous. We can easily walk into a shop or a supermarket and get any number of not just basic food, but exotic food, luxurious food if we want it. It's not because we're living in the West. That's part of the reason. All these things are tracing back to God. Even the skills that our farmers have, even the skills that our bakers have, whoever is involved in that food chain, God has given it to them and to us. It says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10 that God supplies both the seed to the sower and bread for food. He provides the bread. He provides the person who makes that bread, the skill that they have. God in his mercy has not taken those gifts away from the people in our country yet. So we're not to thank the prosperous West for all that we have. It is prosperous. And you could do a study to show that actually it's probably linked to the Christian faith anyway, with all its problems that it has. I'm not making a political statement there. But what I am saying is that ultimately we are to thank the Lord who is behind all these things. Everything that comes to our table is from Him. He has provided our daily bread to the extent that He has filled our hearts with food and gladness. So as I close, can we not say with Paul easily that God did good? Can we not say that? God did good that He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. We can easily say that. Even with the ups and downs of life, which we've had some of in the congregation more than others, we can say that we praise God from whom all blessings flow. We can easily say that great is His faithfulness. We can easily say that God did good. Well, let us sing and